Heaven is not happy or perfect, not yet, by Colin Jones. For millennia, Christian doctrine has claimed that heaven is happy and perfect. So happy, in fact, that its perfection only awaits our immediate arrival upon passing from this life. Some of the most amazing paintings made by Christian hands have depicted heaven as a place of pure bliss, where harp strings are continuously plucked and cherubs endlessly meander through the sky. A.E. Nock writes, "Most men imagine that heaven is a synonym for happiness. If we only had not lost contact with the angels, they think we would still be living in the Garden of Eden. All they want at death is to be carried above and with the angels dwell and play their harps the praise of God to swell. But what do the scriptures really teach about the state of heaven right now? Job gives us a big clue. There was a day when the sons of Elohim would come to station themselves before Yahweh, and the adversary came also in their midst, Job 1:6. The adversary, Satan, was able to do so because he was counted among the entities that had access to Yahweh in heaven. And while there, Satan makes his pitch against Job, arguing that the man from the land of Uz has not been properly tested, Job 1:7-12. Despite this, the adversary's presence is suspiciously absent from Christian portrayals of heaven. Why is this the case? Could it be that tradition, Christian tradition, has whitewashed the current state of heaven in exchange for a depiction that appeals to our soulish desires? There's no doubt that the heavens are beautiful and awe-inspiring. You only need to glance up at the stars on a clear night, or look at the wondrous images captured by NASA's James Webb Space Telescope. One of the joys of my life was, while living for a short time in Pemba, Mozambique, sitting on the beach and looking up on clear nights. The galactic disk of the Milky Way was visible, slashing through the night sky. Millions, billions of stars glittering against the black expanse. The beauty and grandeur I witnessed on those evenings were beyond anything I had ever experienced, but it would be an error to mistake the beauty I witnessed for happiness or perfection. The heavens, or space, is also the scene of unimaginable destruction. Stars explode, collapse, and fold into black holes, devouring everything that comes near. Planets smash into one another, sending shards of rock tumbling through space, only to collide with other celestial bodies. The magnitude of this material destruction mirrors the unrest mentioned in Revelation 12:7-9, which precedes the millennial kingdom. And a battle occurred in heaven. Michael and his messengers battle with the dragon, and the dragon battles and its messengers. And they are not strong enough for him, neither was their place still found in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent called Adversary and Satan, who is deceiving the whole inhabited earth. Again, we are told the adversary and his messengers were in heaven before being cast out. But this has not yet happened, meaning the adversary is still in heaven. Consequently, heaven is in disarray, just as earth is. No one is euphorically plucking harps in heaven or waving at cherubs as they zip through the air. If heaven and all of its spiritual entities were already perfect, as Christendom says, there would be no reason for Paul's declaration that members of Christ's body put on the panoply of God to defend against the wiles of the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials, Ephesians 6:11-17. Although the adversary and his messengers continue to heckle heaven and earth, everything is progressing perfectly according to God's will and will be made anew at the consummation, 1 Corinthians 15:24. But not a second before,